So nothing I do can bring it to life. We have to keep that in mind with our children. Sometimes we're looking for spiritual growth in our children because we've been sharing that message with them. We expect them to be changed. But if they have not received Christ, they are like this plant. They are spiritually dead. Now, it's hard for us to say, you're spiritually dead, child. We're not going to use that phrase to them. But for us to know that we can't coax changed behavior out of a child that has not received Christ.
Right. That's true.
You can't do it. You can't get that change. I remember when... How often have you heard, and they call them, they go to church, or you've been going to Bible study, maybe the kids have been hearing at home, you've been going to Bible study, why aren't you different, why aren't you changed? And we don't know what they're getting out there. We only have that short time with them, and we want to encourage them. But most of all, we want to give them that opportunity to receive Christ. Yeah. Now sometimes we get busy, we get rushed, we get a shortened amount of time. Mm-hmm. We're not giving them the whole message.
That's true. Yes.
We're not giving them that opportunity to say, I want to ask Jesus to give my soul. Mm-hmm. We're taking them all the way up. Leave them hanging. We want to leave them hanging. We want to give them that opportunity to ask Jesus to take away their sin. Because right. It's only through that, asking Jesus as their Savior, that they will be with you when you're in heaven. Now we know that, I know when I first came to Christ, people were asking me, when did you ask Jesus as your Savior? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that meant. When did you ask Jesus to be your Savior? I didn't know what that meant. So watch the words that you use with the children. It's significant. We want them to know what it means. We don't want to get caught up on what we know, but what we're accustomed to. Well, I've always used that. Asking Jesus into their hearts. That's scary. Mm-hmm. Grandpa had a heart attack, and now you're trying to do something to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're listening to things literally.
Yes.
So we want to be careful how the words that we use. We want to be mindful. We intentionally do not use that phrase. That's been a custom phrase for years and years, traditional.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
When did you ask Jesus into your heart? Well, we don't do that because of the reason that I said. It has different connotations to different children. It has different meanings. And we want them to be the Lord of our lives, right? We want him to be the ruler. Just like those people after he fed the 5,000, they wanted him to be the king of their land,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come to be the king of the land. He came to be the king of their hearts.
Amen.
Okay? The king of their lives. The ruler. And that's the message that we want to get across to the children. Why lead children to Christ? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we're going to go through some foundationals because we want to give you a bonus session at the end. So we're going to go through some foundational material, and then Laura is going to show you, do a presentation on how to do it. We're going to give you a demonstration. Then we're going to bump it up a bit, and we're going to show you how to counsel a child. Once they've received Christ, how to talk to them to be clear that they understand what they've done. We say, used to say, it's simple as ABC. Admit, believe, confess. It's not as simple. We don't want to minimize that serious decision or that serious
commitment.
Thank you. I keep looking at this thing, it says self-control, and it's throwing me off. I must have an issue here. We don't want to minimize it. And so we don't say simple as ABC. Mm-hmm. That was a good one, though.
It was a good one.
Okay, we can still say A, admit, B, because we had kids that would come to class and say, I want to do my ABCs today. I wanted to do them last week, but I thought about it after I went home. Mm-hmm. I want to do my ABCs today. Mm-hmm. So they knew what it meant, mm-hmm. and they liked it. It was something that they could hold on to. Mm-hmm. But we want to be mindful that we're not saying that it's simple. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to say simple or easy. But we know that God's word is not difficult, right? We know that to receive Christ, it's just believe and receive, right?
Yes.
God commands it. Let's read this together.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
The spiritual condition of the children demanded. They're sinners, just like us.
Yes.
And they can't understand spiritual truths. They can't understand it. The Bible tells us they can't understand it. You need to be born again. That doesn't mean that they can't hear it. They will come to that understanding. That's why we need to keep our teaching at their level, at a child's level. Not with the big words or Christian words. We want to keep it simple for what the children are understanding, depending on your grade.
Can I ask, the tree with the purple flowers and the pearls is hindering the vision.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That was my opening. I was trying to bring it back to life.
Oh, okay.
Our water in
the dead tree back to life. Okay.
And we can't bring the children. We can't. Children can't learn our dead in their sleep until they receive Christ.
Okay.
So no matter how much watering we do, telling them of God's truth, if they don't receive Christ, we can't get changed life out of them. Okay. Right? They can't get new life because they're not new yet.
Great example.
Even it looks pretty. You can look pretty on the outside, but you're dead inside. You're still dead inside.
Hello.
Foundational truth. God is our creator. We know that. It may seem simple to us, but the children are told that Big Bangs came out of a fish. They're told all kinds of different things now. So we want to give them this truth. God is love.
Yes.
He loves us. He's loved us with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world. He loves us. He's holy. He's perfect. He's never done anything wrong. When I use the word holy, I use those phrases so that they know what holy means. Eventually, you know your group, they'll know what holy means. But at first, don't just throw out holy. It doesn't mean anything to somebody that doesn't have that foundation. So he's perfect. He's never done anything wrong. God is separated from man. Our sin is separated from God. Separated us from God. All have sinned. That's all you need to tell them. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we know that's the rest of the verse. But what the kids need to know right then, all have sinned. What you don't want to have... We have to explain what they don't understand. You don't want to spend that time explaining something that doesn't have isn't necessary for that particular moment. I'm not saying that we fall short of the glory of God is not necessary. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is what the kids need to know right then. All have sinned. Not just you. You might be told all the time, you do wrong. You're bad. You're bad. Okay. We're all bad. We all have sinned. Right. I personally try not to use that phrase with the children. Bad things we've done. I use the wrong things we've done. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's laws. Man is a sinner, and he can't save himself. We can be as good as we want to be. Which is why that self-control sign keeps getting my attention. The gospel. We want to share with them the person of God. God the Son. Born perfect. He was born perfect. He died on the cross and he came back alive. We don't want to say he died on the cross and leave it at that.
Yeah.
We want to say he died and came back alive as one thing. We don't want to leave him on the cross. Pardon?
I said, and then went up to heaven to be glorified.
Well, for all, yeah, that's another teaching. But the main thing is that he came back alive.
He came back alive.
He died, he was buried, he came back alive.
I remember what you just said. I never thought about he arose. And somebody would think that we're talking about a flower.
Yeah. I shared with them last session that I used to use Jesus died and he was buried and he arose again. And I asked the question, what, Jesus died and came back, was buried. What happened on the third day? And a child told me he turned into a rose. Because I've been using the term, he rose. And they didn't understand it. That didn't do them any good. If they're all going around telling people, my teacher taught me that Jesus turned into a rose.
Well, then he's a rose.
Yeah. You want to... I mean, and so I don't use that phrase, but we want to be mindful of the words that we use. Just because we're comfortable with it doesn't mean the children understand it.
It's their level.
It's like I use the phrase holy, perfect. He's never done anything wrong. If we just tell him, God's holy, that doesn't mean anything. They're going to ask you, what does holy mean? He was willing to die, he gave his blood, and came back to life and was seen. And that's the message of salvation. He lives in heaven. The appropriation. God gives us an invitation to come. Come to me. John 1:12 says, for as many as receive
him,
those have believed in his name, they have the right to be called children of God. That's a conditional promise. It's, you have to have done something to get something. If you do your homework, you get some ice cream. Or if you mop the floor, you go get a new dress. There's no promise. Now that's something I can do. And so with John 1:12, it's the same thing. As many as believe in his name, they have the right to be called children of God. God made all things. He made you. He loves you very much. God is perfect. He never does anything wrong. And he's in a perfect place called heaven. There's one thing that can never be in heaven. And that's sin. Sin is anything that displeases God. Okay, what kind of things do the children your age do?
Lie.
Lie.
Very good.
Anybody else?
Gossip.
Gossip. Children your age?
Fight.
Fight.
Bullying.
Steal.
Steal.
Disobedient. That was the best part of this one.
What about a bad attitude?
Yes.
Bad attitude? Do you think that pleases God?
Talk out of turn.
Everyone has sinned. We're born with a want to sin. What does it say in Romans 7? In Romans, I do what I don't want to do.
Yes.
Even when I don't want to do it, I still do it.
Don't do it.
I don't know what's wrong with me. And the children have that same problem. Mm-hmm. Even the saved children have that same problem. If Paul saved had that problem, how much more for the children? So we want to encourage them to good, pure living, to right living. Sin separates us from God. We cannot be with him in heaven. We don't want to tell the kids, if you don't ask Jesus to take away your sin, you'll go to hell. Yes, we know that. It's a truth. But we don't want to scare them into heaven.
That's true.
We want them to want to be in heaven because of the love of God. We want to be mindful of that. So sin separates us from God. That means we can't be with him in heaven. Some will say, you'll perish. That's true. The Bible does say that. What is perishing? That means you're going to go to hell. Is that encouraging for the child?
No.
We don't want to water the gospel. I'm not saying water the gospel. But don't put a fear in their socks in that way. The fear that we can't be with God in heaven, that's a fear. But not that other kind of fear. Now they're going to go home and have nightmares. Because my teacher said, God has a wonderful plan so that you can be with him someday in heaven. And that's the tomb and the cross. Jesus is God the Son. He lived a perfect life. He willingly took the punishment for your sins. For your sins and mine. And he's the only one that could do that. Now, I've read, the Bible says, he could have called thousands of angels to come and help. But he didn't. He wanted to take that punishment for our sins, for your sin and for mine. He bled and he died on the cross. So that you can have your sins forgiven. But it's your choice. I can't, teacher can't make that choice for you. Mom and dad can't make that choice. Not even grandma can make that choice. You have to make that choice. That's for you, only you to make that choice. He died and he came back alive again. And he was seen by many people. He's now in heaven with the Father, ruling as king. We know these truths. We need to be able to package them up very simply in a child's language. When I say simply, I mean in a child's language. Mm-hmm. And present that. Consider your audience. Consider your little flock. What they understand. What you've taught them in the past. So that when you're talking to them, maybe you taught holy, but you have 3 kids, 4 kids that didn't hear about holy. Don't take it for granted that you told this group already what holy meant, so they're going to know what it is. Now, because what the Lord Jesus has did for you, you can have your sins forgiven. You can be with him one day in heaven. Clean heart. John 3:16. Breaks it all down there. That's one of those ones that with the perish, right? Will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, use a version that the children will understand. Not a version that you're comfortable with. That's not the bottom line. We want something that the kids... But I always use King James. I've been using King James since I was a child in Sunday school. That's great for you. That session with the children is not for you. That session is for the children. Give them something that they can understand. Otherwise, they're not meeting their need. We're there to meet their need. We're there to teach them about the wonderful Savior. And if we keep making it too difficult, then they're going to give up as well. Then you're going to ask them questions after they've accepted Christ. So what I just shared with you was a wordless book. You saw that it was in colors.
Yeah.
So that's used as a technique to keep track of the message of salvation. You can give the whole message of salvation in a wordless book in 5 to 8 minutes. Does anybody here know the wordless book? Okay, very good. The wordless word. And we're going to give you an example of this. Okay? And it gives the children an opportunity to receive Christ. We're going to give them an invitation. Then after that, we're going to talk about how to do the invitation in your lesson, and then how to talk to the children after to make sure that they're understanding what they did. Okay? So I'm not going to take any more of your time, and I'm going to turn it over to... She's going to cover all this for you. Remember the cameras right here? So she's going to go through all this for you. Let's get you 2 seat chairs right there.
I'm going to do first the MOS, okay. And then we'll do the counseling. Hello, boys and girls. How are you today? I'm so happy to see you today. Well, you know what, boys and girls? I'm going to ask some questions, and I want you to raise your hand, and then I'll choose who will answer. What does this color remind you of? Elena?
The sun.
The sun? Very good. What color is it?
Gold.
Raise your hand.
Gold.
Yes?
Gold.
Gold, yes. And what does gold remind you of? Something else? Maybe something mommy wears?
Her wedding ring. I
haven't had a wedding ring. Yes, very good. And that's gold. Very good. And you know what, boys and girls? Gold reminds me of heaven. The Bible tells us that in heaven the streets are of gold. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine, how many of you like to go to Disneyland? Yeah, I know, all of us like to go to Disneyland, and it's awesome. and it's fun, and you like to go to the castle. Well, you know what, boys and girls? In heaven, it's more precious than Disneyland. Heaven, it's full of gold. The streets are made of gold, and then inside it's of beautiful stones and diamonds. Can you picture yourself in there? Isn't that a wonderful place? Yes, but you know what, boys and girls? There's one thing that can never be in heaven. God is in heaven, and he is perfect. He is holy. That means he makes no mistake. He's always done right. But that one thing that can never, ever be in heaven, that is sin. And you know what, boys and girls? Sin separates us from God. Yeah, that's really sad. Have you ever been separated from mom and dad? Maybe when you went to preschool and you saw mommy leaving? How about you, Elena? You remember? Yeah, you were left in preschool. And then you start crying. Mommy, don't go, don't go. I know you're big boys and girls now, but one day you were separated from mommy and daddy and you were not that happy. You know what boys and girls call it? Boys and girls, sin separates us from God. And what is sin? Sin is not that you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. That's a choice. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law and makes him sad. Can you do it with me? Sin is anything you
think,
say, or do that breaks God's law and makes him sad. And what is God's law? The Bible. The Bible is God's law. Now, boys and girls, the Bible tells us that we all have sinned. All of us were born wanting to do our own way. Have anyone taught a baby how to pull the hair? Where did the babies learn that? Where do babies learn to throw the toys? Or punch you in the face when you're like, ah, there's a baby, baby! They punch you and they scratch you. Where did they learn that? Do you taught them that? Do they have to go to school to learn that? Where do you learn to be disobedient? Mommy says, pick up those shoes. And you're like, tomorrow. Where do you learn that from? You know what? We are all born like that, wanting to do our own way, wanting to do our own thing. And that sin separates us from God. But you know what, boys and girls? God has made a wonderful plan so that you can have your sins forgiven and go to heaven one day. And that is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is God himself. He is perfect as well because he is God. And he took your punishment on the cross. He gave his blood for you because he loves you. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world. And that means you and me, not the animals or not just the trees or the flowers or, you know, whatever you see in this world. No, but the best of God's creation is you. And Jesus came to earth. He died on the cross, but that was not it. On the third day, he came back alive. He is alive now, and he is in heaven. And when he came back alive, a lot of people saw him, and he went back to heaven where God is. And he's in heaven right now, preparing a wonderful place for you and me, but for those who trust in him. You know what? It is sad, but not everyone can go in heaven. You have to make a decision today. You and I are sinners. But Jesus came and died for our sins. And now because of what the Lord Jesus did, you can have your sins forgiven and be ready for heaven one day. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, you know, confess is telling God, is telling him, yes, I understand I've done wrong things. Yes, God, you are right. I've been disobedient. Yes, I've done wrong things. Yes, I fight. Yes, I want to do my own thing. But I don't want to do that no more. I want to trust in Jesus as my own Savior. You know what, boys and girls? I cannot make that choice. I cannot make that decision. Only you can make that decision. And you need to trust. trust in Jesus. Not trusting your teacher, not trusting your mom. Mommy, daddy cannot take you to heaven where God is. I cannot take you to heaven where God is. Only Jesus, He is the way. Would you like to trust in Jesus today?
Yes.
Close your eyes and bow your head, and then I want you to show me by raising your hand. Very good. I see your hand over there. I see your hand right here. I see your hand right there. Very good. Now you can open your eyes. We're going to be done, and then I'm going to want all of you to come to me. All of you who rose their hand. If you raise your hand and you want to know about Jesus and you want to trust in Him today, I want you to come to me after the class ends. And for all of you that you already know Jesus as your Savior, that you already trusted in Him, God wants you to grow. And how would you grow? Well, letter G is to go to church. If you are not going to a local church, I invite you to go to my church. If not, look for a church around your neighborhood, wherever you live, that teaches from the Bible. And God also wants you to read the Bible. But reading it is not enough. You have to obey the Bible. Then you have to obey God. You know, it's good that you come to Good News Club or to release time. It's good that you have a Bible at home. It's good that you read it. But you also have to obey. And you know what? One more thing, witness. What is witness? Witness means to tell others about Jesus. Go to your friend. Go to your cousin. Maybe your grandma does not know about Jesus. Go tell grandma, do you know Jesus loves you? Grandma, why don't you come with me? Or maybe your cousin. Or maybe that friend, maybe that little boy or other girl that maybe is not that nice to you. Go tell them, Jesus loves you. Come to Reading Star. Come to Good News Club with me. God wants you to grow and tell others about.
There was a whole message of salvation in less than 10 minutes.
Very good. Thank you.
Now for the bonus round. So after you, they've asked it to, you heard her say after class, come and talk to me. Those of you that raised your hand. So that I can share with you more about your decision. Because they come to you for the counseling, for the guiding, this is called guiding a child to Christ. We want to make sure that they understand the decision that they made. If they don't come to you, doesn't mean they're not saved. That's between them and God. But we want to give them the opportunity to ask Q&A, to ask any questions. And it gives us the opportunity to see where we need to encourage or reiterate.
Hi, Elena. So I saw you raise your hand. Why did you come to see me today?
Because I want to know.
Louder. Okay, are you sure you want to know more about Jesus and how to go to heaven? Or do you just need to go potty?
No, I want to know.
You already went potty. Okay. Did you came to see me because your friend came with?
No.
No, you're sure. Okay. Well, I'm going to show you from the Bible. The Bible is God's true word, okay? And the Bible says in John 3:16, can you read it? Can you read this?
For God so loved the world.
Yes, for God so loved the world. That means you. God loves you, and He is perfect. Do you know where God is? God is in heaven. Did you know that God loves you? And how do you know that?
Because there's a poster in here that says Jesus loves me.
But I also showed you from where?
Bible.
From the Bible. Very good. Now, do you know what sin is?
Yes.
What is sin?
Everything we think, we say, and we do that breaks God's law and makes us sin.
Like what?
I'm really thirsty at school, and we just came back from recess, and the kid in front of me is taking too long, and I yell at him.
Oh, bad attitude, huh? Yeah. So, do you know that you have sin?
Yes.
Yeah. As the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. Yes, all have sinned. That means you and me and mommy and daddy. Everyone in this world is born wanting to sin, wanting to do their own thing. Now, did you know who Jesus is?
Yes.
Who is Jesus?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. Very good. And do you know what he did for you? What did he do?
He died.
But you know what? A lot of people die. What else did he do for you?
He came back to life.
He came back to life? Very good. Here. You can find that here in 1 Corinthians 15. That who?
Christ.
Died for what?
Our sins.
According to the?
Scriptures.
And that he was?
Buried.
And that he?
Rose.
Again, that means he came back alive. You know when? The third day, according to the scripture. But that was not it. Look. And that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. People saw him alive. And you know why he died on the cross for your sin? You know what he did? The Bible tells us, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, when you maybe are not being nice to mommy or daddy, you know, you get time out. There is a punishment. Well, our sin deserves a punishment. And that punishment is to be separated from God forever. But Jesus Christ died in the cross. He died, and then he came back alive on the third day, so you and I can have our sins forgiven. Look, the Bible says, but as many as what?
Received
him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to trust in Jesus today and ask him to be your personal Savior?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you talk to him? We're going to pray. But the prayer is not what's going to take you to heaven. It's trusting in him, believing that he died on the cross, that he came back alive, that he is in heaven right now, and he's the only one who can forgive your sins and take you to heaven. So you want to tell him with your own words what you want him to do for you today, okay? We're going to close our eyes, and then I'll show you more from your Bible.
Okay. I need help praying.
You need help praying. Okay, I'm going to help you a little bit, but you need to say it with your own words, okay?
Okay.
Dear God.
Dear God.
I ask you today. To help me.
To help me
and forgive me.
And forgive me.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I want you to be my Savior today.
And I want you to be my Savior today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now tell me, what did you just do right now?
I asked Jesus to be my Savior.
What else did you ask him? Did you ask him to forgive you?
Yes.
Yeah, to forgive you from what?
From my sin.
From the wrong things we do, right? Yes. And you know what? He gives you a promise. He says that when you have asked him, he will, can you read it here? I will
never leave you.
I will never leave you. So once you trust in him, he says he will never ever leave you. Can you put your hand like this? Now say it with me. I will never leave you. Now put your name on it, okay? I will never leave Laura. Very good. And then he also says, the Lord is my helper. Now with your other hand, you're gonna say, the Lord is my helper. Now you're going to put your name again. The Lord is Elena's. It's Laura's.
Helpers.
Helper. Very good. Now, what are you going to do after? Do you think you will do something wrong again?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Well, the Bible tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have to tell Him immediately. If you say, oh, I just did wrong, I just was mean to my best friend, or I didn't obey mommy, you have to go to God and say, God, forgive me and help me to live for you. Help me to do what is right. Now, God wants you to grow. And how are you going to do that? Let me show you. Here He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to give you this track. And here it tells you how you can grow as well. And what you just did today. Today, you became a member of God's family. So you're going to put your name and you're going to put the date. This is for you to keep. But God wants you to grow. How can a little plant grow? What does it need?
You can put water.
Water, right? Yes. So can I pour water on you and can you grow?
No.
No, right now. Well, God wants you to grow in a different way. From your inside. God wants to change you from your inside to your outside. And He wants you, number one, letter G, is to go to church. Right here it says to grow. Number one is to G, go to church. And then what does it say? R is for?
Read your Bible.
And pray. Pray is just talking to Him like you're talking to Him. It's talking to God. O is for?
Obey
the Bible. If the Bible says that you should not steal, are you going to steal? You're going to try not to. You're going to try to obey. You're going to try your best to do what the Bible says to obey. And what is the W for?
Witness.
Witness. Witness to others. That means to tell others about Jesus. You can take it today. Maybe you can go to Miss Christina and you can share with her what you just did about Jesus, what you have done with Him, what He did for you today. Now, I encourage you to go and tell Miss Christina, okay?
Thank you. Excellent. Bravo. Very good.
Jesus.
That's a fact. That is a fact. I believe in Jesus. So, we're going to go one step further. And we're going to show you how to... Okay, so the message that we shared of God's love, the goal of God's... what can be in heaven, Jesus died on the cross and came back alive. You can weave that through your Bible story. So that goes from a Bible story to a lesson. If your material doesn't already have it, look for where it naturally fits in with the character. Zacchaeus. Nobody likes Zacchaeus. I mean, nobody. He was a tax collector. People didn't like the tax collectors, right? Why? They were mean and they cheated. They stole.
No.
That's a sin. You know, boys and girls, we sin too. The Bible says we're born with a want to sin. And that all have sinned. Okay, so you see how I took it from the character and I put it to myself. Or to the children.
I have a question.
Yes. Yes.
I have had in my home a 5-day club, and it was a question that I wanted to address to them. But that's the second time I raised my hand and got ignored.
I didn't see you back.
This. That's okay. I had to say that because I did raise my hand earlier.
Okay.
Anyway, the question is that in the club, the young lady did an excellent job, just like this young lady, just dynamic. However, my 3 kids that live in my neighborhood, every time they have the children raise their hand who want to receive God, they come up. So I'm thinking there's a bridge that needs to be gapped in terms of
now that you have received Christ, I don't know, they're Catholic, so I don't know if they had christening or baptism doesn't mean to them that they received Christ or not. But my question is based on, so now what? What do you do that they don't seem to understand that they have received Christ, you know, and that they need to now grow, and what does growing, what does salvation mean for them and to them now?
Okay. Well, that's where you would give them the assurance, or what we call the assurance, that they are part of God's forever family. If you do something wrong, you'll still be part of God's family, but He wants you to tell Him. He wants you to talk to Him and tell Him you've done something wrong. So, if you lie to your mom, what can you tell God?
I lied.
I usually have the children, I teach them to pray like that. Dear Lord, I lied to my mom. Please forgive me and help me not to do it again. Because that's the way I have to pray. Lord, help me not to overeat. So that when I start to overeat, I can remember that I just said those words. Those words came out of my mouth specifically, right? We pray specific. Mm-hmm. Somebody called it serial number praying. So we want to give them the assurance of they're part of God's forever family. Did you ask Jesus last? Did you ask Jesus before? Have you ever?
Last 3 times? Yeah.
I know. But when she asked her, have you ever asked Jesus before? Remember at the beginning? Mm-hmm. Did you ever ask Him before? Okay, so if she would have said yes, she would have said, you've asked Jesus to forgive your sin? She would have said yes. And there she would have told her, then you're part of God's family.
John 1:12.
So we would walk them through that, the truth of John 1:12. When you asked Jesus to forgive your sin, you became part of His family.
Okay.
And you believe, and you will give Him the assurance. And He will never leave you.
The mom didn't understand. She doesn't speak a lot of English, but she didn't understand. She thought we were trying to make them a part of our club, as opposed to being members of the whatever church they go to.
And that's why it's so important that what we do in our area is we send a packet to the hostess, so that they know what to follow up on with the children. If you know that child for 3 years doesn't know that they're saved, we would have given you the encouragement to begin to talk to them. Because that's not our flock.
Okay.
That's your flock.
Okay.
We're there with them for the moment. We're the itinerant preacher, right? Mm-hmm. We go in, we tell them, and then we leave. But that hostess is the one that knows that child. They're in their neighborhood. They're in their circle of influence. Mm-hmm. So that's what we encourage that hostess to share that truth.
Okay. Thank you.
Give that reassurance.
Thank you.
And that's for John chapter 1:12.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the things we just learned in the class ahead was spiritual growth. He was saying that it's important that you give them a certificate or some object with the date and the time that they receive Christ, because sometimes the enemy will try to come back and says, oh, you're not in God's family. So when that child accepts Christ, make sure you have something physical to give them, like he gave a rock in the original example.
We did that here. We gave them a tract.
Oh,
and she told her, put your name in it and the date.
And then if they come up again and say, I want to receive Christ,
okay.
You already received it. Remember, on this day, you have your certificate. So now you just need to grow in Christ.
But more so than this, is that verbal assurance, that verbal encouragement, that those prayers for that child that you know have received Christ, that prayer for somebody to come into their lives, that prayer for them to begin to go to church and learn the deeper truths, learn to walk, to grow. Okay, this is going to be, I can't tell you how many pieces of paper I go through in a week. This may not have that significance that we want to have in their lives. What's going to make a difference is our relationship that we have with that child.
Exactly.
Whether it's as teacher, as hostess, as neighbor, as a relative, encouraging them and sharing the truth with them, lifting them up, especially in prayer.
Thank you.
That's going to have a lot more value than a rock or a piece of paper, because that's something that will stay with them in the heart.
So we really don't know when they receive Christ. But salvation is Lord, but we can't just assume that because we share the gospel, that point in time they were saved. We don't know that. We can only just repeat God's word to them and take what they say, that they trust in Christ.
That's right.
But we don't know, because Nicodemus went to Jesus, he never told him to repeat anything. He just gave him the gospel. Well,
yes,
we believe Nicodemus was saved, but I couldn't say when.
Okay, we're not going into deep theological things. We're talking about children.
That's not deep theological.
And the purpose of...
That's scripture.
The purpose...
That's just the Bible.
Okay, so what is the question?
I said, well, how do we know that they're saved? That was my question.
We don't know that. We share the truth.
Yeah.
We ask them their questions, and we go from there. The rest of that is between them and God. We've had children that say... have you ever heard anybody say, yes, I've asked Jesus before, but it didn't take? Today is the day of salvation, but everybody's today is different. You know, they may have the best of intentions, or their behavior may not change. Because their behavior doesn't change, doesn't mean they haven't received Christ.
That's right.
Okay? I still overeat. I pray, and I'm saved. I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
And I have repeated it. But that doesn't mean I don't still do wrong. I still make the choices that I know are not best for me. That doesn't mean I'm not saved. So that child is going to change as they grow in Christ, as we grow. It's like sports. You don't get good just because you started sports, right? It's that practice. It's that activity, being part of the team, which is the family of God. Being part of that practice, which is doing the disciplines, reading the Bible, going to church, sharing with us, obeying. Okay, the obey isn't going to come overnight. It doesn't come overnight for us. And it's not going to come overnight for the children.
No.
Just because if the child says, yes, I have asked Jesus, we can't judge him that he's not saved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. The reason we go through that, faith comes by hearing.
Hearing the word of God.
That is a way to help draw that little child into an understanding. That time of guiding that child to Christ, just if he doesn't come up and ask all those questions, doesn't mean he's not saved.
Right.
But that gives us an opportunity. We give them the opportunity to do that so that we can answer any questions, so that we can clarify anything. We want to make sure that Jesus didn't turn into a rose, right?
Yes.
That they understand that. Okay, we want to lift them up, and it gives them that one-on-one time. They may not get one-on-one time anywhere else. The teacher may not have time. The parent may not have time. But for that moment, you gave them that time. And that's going to impact their heart as well. Not that we're the beginning or end of anything. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. I'm thinking it's we're begin or end.
We're seed planters. I think our confusion comes in when people confuse transformation with salvation. God said receive, believe, and receive. So now we don't know when the Holy Spirit is going to come into that person and change that person, but because they have believed and God said that they would receive and they are hearing and God is going to do the transformation, so we don't. Are we supposed to know when? No, I don't think so.
We're not the Holy Spirit.
We're not the Holy Spirit.
That's not our job. Our job is, as she said, seed planters.
Yeah.
Our job is to clearly present the message with the words that the children understand, with the explanations the children understand, everything at their level, with a version of the Bible that the children understand, not what's comfortable for me, or not what I like. But I like to use flannels. Well, this is a... 2016. This may not be attractive to them, or where they're going to get their attention. This may be more attractive to them, where they're going to get their attention. But I like flannels. I'm going to use flannels because I like them. And I have a lot of material that's already flannels. Already have it. But if it's not reaching the children, get over what we like and move on to what's going to fit for the child.
Supply their needs.
The right.
This, the kids are going to be more concerned with, whoa, what's a hand, what's a clothespin? We want to reach the children where they're at, not have them get us where we're at. It's not about us. We're an instrument, we're the tool that God is using. Because he can't change the tool, right? You need the right tool for the right job. Right tool for the right job. You're that tool that he wants to use. Be effective in the master's hand. Let's pray. Father, you're perfect. And we're grateful that you're perfect. That we are to be used by you. Let us do it your way. A way that will fit the child to meet their needs, that they will come to know you as a personal savior, the personal master, the personal creator, the personal love of their life, their personal God. Let them know that. Give us the words that we need. Give us the heart to pray for these children. Yes. Pray for their parents. Pray for their families. Pray for their homes, Lord. Let us not forget and ever be mindful to pray for these children. And be willing to step in and step up and speak out when they don't understand, when they're not sure, when they need that assurance that they are your children. We know that they come from many backgrounds. And they're told that they're not good, they're bad, or all the different things that the children are going through overnight, let alone through their little lives. Let us have a heart that sees their need. Show it to us, Lord. We cry out to you for them. And I cry out to you now for our teachers. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Now, speaking of self-control, who's going to give me their cookie?
Very good lesson. Was you here last year? You were? I thought I remember. Was you here last year? I don't remember you, but I remember you.
And
I remember her too, right? Was she here? Because I think she was sitting behind me. But I really got a lot out of this class. It was really good. Very well, the way you guys put on the skit. She's like a real actress, I tell you. Give her
extra cookie.
Thank you. You know, one of my favorite pieces many years ago, the gold and the various colors.
I'm gonna tell you my secret. I've been a celibate for 17 years.
Yeah, just make the lamp there black and white. Just use the cardboard.
Okay. I want to wait on the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yep. Okay, here's my husband calling, texting me right now. Get the address from him.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is just the beginning.
Did you drop your name?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Nobody keep
up
here.
Yeah. Give me a second. I'm getting the address.
Okay.
Because I already know he doesn't know it.
Oh, yeah. Y'all did good up in this class.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So I brought that question. Are you sure it's what you want? Not because you're praying.
You would just get a little bag over here.
I wanted over the edge, a puppet class. I did a demonstration.
Our bookstore,
okay.
This has actually all the instructions, actually.
Thank you very much. So it's an actual Bible.
It is.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate you sitting through it twice.
The Bible also comes with a Bible lesson in it.
Uh-huh.
Say, this is your introduction.
Here it is. So 44:11, you'll
use the words. that the children will understand. That's one of the
And when you go in the building, you'll see.
So it's actually the Bible.
So you know what day is actually coming here?
But it includes.
Usually the first or second Saturday of the month.
Yeah. Okay. Right here, it gives you the gospel points. That means that throughout the lesson, you link out.
With their
with
level
the lesson,
of words.
The level, and you make it personal.
Yeah.
So you're including the gospel.
You know, like one of the examples she gave about he rose.
Yes. I'll be invited to a lot of places, so I'm going to make sure I get to this one.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not sure if we brought it.
I don't think so.
Our booth here.
Okay, so you're going to look for, when you go into the building, okay, so it's off of off of Catella.
Okay. Okay.
Catella.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Lexington.
Okay.
It's where it's across.
Well, you know, I'll take Access. Access to take me right to the place.
So
then the next time I'll drive there because now I know how to get there.
When you go in, you'll start seeing signs that say chapel this way.
Okay. Do that have a zip code? Because I need a zip code to get an Access.
I don't know.
We have it right there. We do have like four and stuff right now.
Oh, okay. This was your narrative, and I don't think your name is on here. It's here, though.
It's
Christina.
That's Christina.
She's my director.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And what's your name again?
My name is Christina McConnell.
Okay, Mrs. McConnell.
Building 6. So it's also Building 6.
Children's Bible isn't here,
and
but
Mrs.
we have a
McConnell.
Thank you.
The address.
Building 6.
Okay.
They'll know that at the gate.
Uh-huh.
This address is Building 6.
Okay, and your name is Mrs. McConnell.
Liberty Theater is in Building 6. The chapel is not in the Liberty Theater, but
okay.
that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
When if everybody knows where Liberty Theater is,
okay.
It's in that building.
Okay.
But we have signs that say chapel.
Okay, thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome. We'll look forward to seeing. Tell me your name.
Kathy Klein.
I'm sorry. I forgot about that.